Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. During the service, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper will be celebrated, and those who are joining us online may wish to have a piece of bread and some juice or wine set aside in order that you can participate and share in the sacrament. Let us worship God. We sing the great Advent hymn, hymn 273, 273, O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
The call to prayer comes from the prophet Isaiah. The watchmen raise their voices and shout together for joy, for with their own eyes they see the Lord return to Zion. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we embark on our Advent journey, we look with great hope to your coming to us in Jesus, born in Bethlehem. And we look to that time when in Christ you will come again in power and in glory. But we know that you are also here with us now, surrounding us with your love and affirming us as a people called from darkness into your marvellous light. Help us then to know the reality of your presence. Lift our sight from the temporal things that fill our lives and help us to see beyond to those things that are eternal. Gracious God, the Gospel tells us to be on guard and to be alert. We confess our faith is imperfect, our love is inadequate, and our commitment is lukewarm. We have let you down through the things we have done and the things we have left undone, by the words we have spoken and the words we have failed to speak. Loving God, whose goodness and mercy will not fail us, forgive us our sins, and grant that as we turn again to you in this Advent season, our lives may come to reflect more the life of Christ, who came and is to come. This prayer we offer in his great name. Amen. Just a few notices to draw to your attention. District elders are reminded that the winter edition of the parishioner and free will offering and gift aid offering envelopes are now available for distribution. A defibrillator has been installed outside the parish halls, and in connection with this, there will be CPR and defibrillator training in the parish halls from 10:30 to 12 noon on Saturday, the 14th of this month. Now, the training is open to everyone in the community, so please do spread the word about that. And if you wish to attend the training session, please contact Elaine Ronald. Her email address is on the intimation sheet. Alternatively, you can put your name on the sheet of paper in the McMichael Chapel. There will be a soup and sandwich lunch in the parish halls this coming Saturday at 12 noon. Please do come along and bring a friend. Next Sunday will be the gift service. Unwrapped gifts can be taken to the church and placed below the Christmas tree prior to the service beginning. So, unwrapped gifts. And if I'm correct, there's a shortage of gifts for teenage boys. The gifts will then be taken following the service to the Salvation Army. So, you've always been very generous in your support of the gift service, and I commend it to you. A reminder that 2 weeks today in the evening at 6:30, we'll have a united service of lessons and carols, and we'll be joined by the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, the Right Reverend Dr. Shaw Patterson. So I do hope that as many as possible will come along. That's a fortnight tonight at 6:30. Finally, if you would like to attend the Tuesday group Christmas lunch in Stirling Golf Club on Tuesday the 17th of December, please put your name on the list in the McMichael Chapel. Lunches, dinners, mince pies, shortbread. This is not the month for a minister to lose weight, but it's a great month, and I'm sure we'll all enjoy it. Now, I wonder if anyone can guess what this is. Someone thought it was antlers. Can anyone guess what it is? A tree of life. That's a good guess. It's actually a prayer tree. Let me tell you a wee bit about it. Here in the old parish, we have a prayer group, and the prayer group pray for people who are unwell or going through a difficult time, and also pray for situations in the world that are of concern to us, and there's plenty of them. But last week at a meeting, the prayer group decided we would get a prayer tree. And the prayer tree will be situated most of the time, but not always, in the McMichael Chapel. You go through that door, and the room on your left, that's the McMichael Chapel. Now, you'll find there'll be wee tags and pens, and you're invited to write whatever you wish onto one of the tags and then attach it to one of the branches in the prayer tree. You might want the prayer group to pray for someone who's going through a hard time or someone who's unwell. You might want to pray for a situation like what's happening in Israel or elsewhere in the world where people are hungry and thirsty and there's great poverty. But you might also want to give thanks for something good that has happened. So you're invited just to write whatever it is on a wee tag and attach it to the prayer tree. Now, over and above that, there will also, in due course, be a box on the table out there in the vestibule with cards next to it. And again, you can put any prayer requests that you have onto these cards and place them into the box. And then from January, the last Sunday of the month, about 20 to 12, there will be an opportunity for those of you who wish to remain in the church for a further time of prayer. We'll probably gather in the McMichael Chapel, but that's from the last Sunday in January. We'll do that every month. Prayer is very important. And I'm sure that you appreciate that there is great power in prayer. And one of our elders, Arthur, who's a member of the prayer group, reminded us last week of Paul's words to the church at Philippi: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And so today, on this Advent Sunday, we ask God to bless this prayer tree, which I commend to you on behalf of the prayer group. Now, the first Sunday of Advent. That means we have something to do, and we'll do it in a moment. We've got to light the first candle on the Advent crown. Advent, what is it about? This is a time when we reflect on the significance of Jesus Christ coming into the world at the first Christmas. We reflect on that. We prepare for it. But we also reflect on the time when Jesus will come again, not as a child, but in power and in glory. And we have got to make sure that we're ready for that great day. And so today, we're going to light our first Advent candle. Would someone like to come out and light this Advent candle? Would anyone like to come out? Rebecca, no? Would you like to come out? No, you're shy. Well, Thomas. Oh, there we are. Out you come, you in. That's great. You'll maybe get your light it next week. It's good to see you, Ewan. Now, here we are. You hold that. It's very technical, this, you realise. Now, there you are. Then if you want to light that one there, is that okay? And then take that towards you and blow it out. That's it. Well done. Thank you very much, Ewan. Now, the first candle is the candle of hope. The candle of hope. And so just as a candle shines in the dark places, as we look at this candle and the light of the candle, we celebrate the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, whose coming we will celebrate again at Christmas. We're going to sing a hymn, and I like this hymn very much because I think it's very meaningful in this season of Advent. It is a hymn that calls upon us to do all that we can as Christian people to eradicate poverty and injustice. And it asks a question at the end, a question posed by Jesus, a question for us all to reflect on during these weeks of Advent. Who will follow me? And so we sing hymn 360. Jesus Christ is waiting, waiting in the streets.
Thank you.
hear the word of God. The book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 to 16, page 662 in the Pew Bible. Jeremiah, chapter 33, beginning at verse 14. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I shall bestow on Israel and Judah all the blessings I have promised them. In those days, at that time, I shall make a righteous branch spring from David's line. He will maintain law and justice in the land. In those days, Judah will be kept safe, and Jerusalem will live undisturbed. This will be the name given to him, the Lord, our righteousness. And the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. Luke 21, beginning at verse 25, and reading through to verse 36, page 72 in the Pew Bible. Portents will appear in sun and moon and stars. On earth nations will stand helpless, not knowing which way to turn from the roar and surge of the sea. People will faint with terror at the thought of all that is coming upon the world, for the celestial powers will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When all this begins to happen, stand upright and hold your heads high, because your liberation is near. He told them a parable. Look at the fig tree or at any other tree. As soon as it buds, you can see for yourselves that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all this happening, you may know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, the present generation will live to see it all. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be on your guard. Do not let your minds be dulled by dissipation and drunkenness and worldly cares, so that the great day catches you suddenly like a trap. For that day will come on everyone, the whole world over. Be on the alert, praying at all times for strength, to pass safely through all that is coming, and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Amen. Thanks be to God. We sing the hymn 291, When Out of Poverty Is Born.
Thank you.
We'll just pause for a moment. Today, as we have observed, is the first Sunday of Advent. It marks the beginning of a new year in the church calendar and the time when we prepare to celebrate again the coming of our Lord. I'm always mindful at this time in particular of those for whom these days and Christmas itself can be difficult. I think of those who are out of work or on a low income, who worry about the cost of buying presents for family and friends. I think of the sick in hospital or at home. And I think of those who remember Christmases past and loved ones who are no longer with us. For many, though, this time and the lead up to Christmas can be an exciting time. That is certainly true of children who exhaust themselves thinking of all the things they would like to find below the tree or at the foot of their bed on Christmas morning. And for us who are older, though there will still be the bit of the child in us, this is a time when, once the decorations have been put up, cards have been written, presents and food bought, we can look forward to enjoying the festivities and to singing the well-loved carols that instill in us something of the wonder that is at the very heart of our faith, the mind-blowing truth that God took on human flesh and came to dwell among us. And yet, what do we find in the set readings for this Advent Sunday, and particularly the Gospel reading? It would be difficult to describe it as joyful or celebratory or uplifting. The pulpit fall has changed. The first candle in the Advent crown has been lit. And the Christmas tree will go up in the church tomorrow. Can we not focus instead on these things and what they represent? It is tempting. But to do so would be to ignore what Advent is about. This is a time of waiting, the season of darkness that gives way to the light, a season about the past and a future that is not yet. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Nations will stand helpless, not knowing which way to turn, and people will faint, petrified at the thought of all that is coming upon them." Joy to the world? It doesn't sound like it, does it? Are Jesus' words of warning and what we associate with this time of year not out of kilter with each other? Maybe. But maybe not. Dickens' classic tale, A Christmas Carol, is a story in which there is much criticism of society at the time. Throughout, there is a scathing commentary on the treatment of the poor, with children described as having sunken cheeks. Such is their poverty. The imagery is very powerful. But rarely do we see the most difficult bits of Dickens' masterpiece in dramatisations of his tale. They are edited out lest they offend or cause us to feel uneasy. There is a danger that we can seek to do that with the gospel in this Advent season. We want to focus on that which comforts us and reassures us and makes us feel good and happy. Therefore, we attempt to edit out that which challenges us or disturbs us or makes us uncomfortable, that which is not to our liking. But if we are serious about our faith, if we want to truly appreciate the significance of what happened at the first Christmas, we need to pay heed to readings such as those we read today. Indeed, it would be to our detriment if we ignored them, for can I put it to you, they not only jolt us, they plunge us into the real world. The world not as we would like it to be, but the world as it really is. In the time of the prophet Jeremiah, we find the people of Israel enduring much hardship. Even though God had continually pleaded with them to be faithful, they turned away from him. And despite his warnings of what would happen to them, they did not listen. But then, amidst the chaos, the turmoil, and the sounds of distress, there came a word of hope. God would not abandon his people. Instead, he would honour his covenant promise to them. That promise was fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. As we look around us and at the world today, we see so many senseless horrors: crime and starvation, terrorism and war, earthquakes and floods. These things are wrong and are not part of God's divine plan. But we have the promise of God in Christ that the future is not going to be like the present. Those things that are detrimental to us and to the world will one day pass, and a new era will dawn, a dawn in which there will be everlasting peace and justice and love and joy. Be on your guard, be alert. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, don't lose sight of what is happening around you. But he was also saying, do not lose sight of God and the signs that his kingdom is near. This may not be what we expect to hear as we embark on our Advent journey. But when we hear such words, in light of our knowledge of God and his love, these words are not words to frighten us. They are words to give us hope. And hope is what we need. And hope is what the world needs today. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We sing the hymn 477, 477, Lo, He Comes, with clouds descending.
Thank you.
This is the Lord's table. He invites all who love him to sit with him and share in this joyful feast. Let us hear the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper as they are recorded by Saint Paul. The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, "I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use and mystery." And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and offer him our prayers and thanksgiving. Let us pray. And gracious and ever-present God, we have heard your call and are glad to gather at your table. You gave Jesus Christ for the life of the world, and in your grace you invite us to be part of your family. Therefore, with all your people and with the whole company of heaven, we proclaim your greatness and praise your holy name. Lord Jesus Christ, as we recall how many people looked forward to your coming, we remember how hard it was to go on believing as the years passed by, how hope began to splutter and dreams began to die. But then finally you came, the fulfillment of prophecy and the definitive expression of God's love and purpose for humanity. Lord of all, the Word made flesh, give hope to the world today. Gracious God, whose Son's ministry touched people's lives and brought forgiveness, healing and wholeness, we pray for those caught today in the grip of despair, those for whom the future seems bleak, optimism seems foolish, and trust seems futile. Reach out in love and be to them a light shining in the darkness and a source of never-ending hope. Eternal God, who calls us to love our neighbour as we love ourselves, be with those whose lives are blighted by injustice or crushed by poverty and hunger, and encourage all who work against the odds to build a better world, a world in which peace prevails and no one goes without. Lord of all, the Word made flesh, give hope to the world today. Almighty God, we pray for the lonely, for the sick and those who mourn, remembering as we do the families and friends of Willie Gray, Robert Cairns, and Ali McBroom. Be to them and all in our thoughts a comfort and a strength. Gracious God, we give thanks for the communion of saints, remembering with love your faithful servants and those dear to us who are now with you in heaven. Keep us in unbroken fellowship with them and bring us at the last to the joy of your eternal kingdom. And now, O God, May it please you to send your Holy Spirit to bless us, and these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread which we break may be for us the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless the communion of the blood of Christ, that we, receiving them by faith, may be made partakers of his body and blood, with all his benefits, to nourish us and help us grow in grace to the glory of your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." The things of God for the people of God. Eat this, the bread of heaven. Drink this, the cup of salvation. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you glory, thanks and praise for the dying and undying love of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we prepare to celebrate his birth, we also remember his promise that he will come again in power and in glory. May that conviction encourage us in our faith journey and give us the ability to trust you completely, knowing that whatever else may happen, your purpose for us and the world will be fulfilled. Lord of all the Word made flesh, give hope to the world today through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn 286, 286, tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. In the peace of God, go in the love of Christ, go in the power of the Spirit, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always.